your Bible. It's a little book, the book of Nahum. Talk about one of God's prophets you don't hear much from, but boy, he had a big message. A big message. Nahum, N-A-H-U-M. It's right after Micah. It's right before Zephaniah. It's only three chapters. Book of Nahum. I'm giving you time to look it up, to find it. We're going to turn to the first chapter this morning. I'm going to talk about God's vengeance over his enemies. You know, God's enemies don't have a chance. They just don't know it. God's enemies can get all puffed up, think they're in control, but on the final showdown, it shows up different. Nahum chapter 1, and we're beginning at verse 1 now. The burden, or the judgment, that's what burden means, of Nineveh. The book of the visions of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. Now, the Lord is slow to anger and in great power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds or the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languished in Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Boy, that's a great verse, that last verse, isn't it? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. When we got trouble, boy, we can hold on to the one who's holding on, amen? And he knoweth them that trust in him. You know, it's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to trust him. Put your trust in him, your confidence in him. Today I'm going to be talking about vengeance on his enemies. Nahum's a little prophet of the Lord you don't know much about. His name means comforter. He was going to be a comforter to God's people who were being threatened by the Assyrian people, who were the most wicked people I suppose there's ever been, from what I can learn from history. The Assyrians, they were awful. So he's writing this to encourage the Jews who were being threatened by the Assyrians. And he was going to assure the Jews that God would protect them and take care of the Assyrian army. God was going to destroy at last the Assyrians because of all of their sin and because of the way they treated people. God had put up with them a long time. and this was somewhere around 612 B.C. At the time Nahum writes this prophecy, Judah is having to pay huge tribute to the Assyrians, having to pay them, we would call it their big tax money, to keep them from attacking them or destroying them. That's what Judah was having to do. But now the Assyrians have decided they wanted to just come in and take over everything. And that's the reason the Jews were so afraid at this time. And Nahum is giving this prophecy from the Lord to encourage Judah that God was going to take care of those Assyrian people. The Assyrians in their capital of Nineveh were a very godless and wicked people. So wicked was the city of Nineveh that God had earlier, over 100 years earlier, sent Jonah there. You remember that story about Jonah? Jonah didn't want to go, and he went the other way, and God arranged for him to be swallowed by a big fish. Then he changed his mind and finally went to Nineveh. And he preached a 9-worded message and caused the whole city from the king down was saved. They turned from their sin to God. Now, this is over 100 years earlier from what we're talking about today. God's impending judgment had frightened them when Jonah went and preached. To Jonah's astonishment, the entire city from the king to the lowest citizens repented, and they turned to God at Jonah's preaching. Now remember, Jonah didn't have his heart in what he was preaching. He hated those Assyrians. He wanted God to destroy those. He didn't want God to save those people. And let me say that. Now here's a minister or a preacher. He's not all, I'd say, filled with the Spirit. Would you agree? And look how God used him to save that big city of over 100,000 people. Got saved, every single one of them. You see, it's not the preacher, folks. It's God's Word and God's Spirit that changes lives. It's not us preachers. We don't have any power. We're just of the flesh. But God's Word is mighty. And God's Word can change hearts and change lives and transform people when you believe it. When you believe it. And so when Jonah went and preached that 9-worded sermon, those people believed that God meant what he was going to say, and the whole city got saved. But now over 100 years later, they've gone right back to where they once were. Sounds like today, don't it? Sounds like people, don't it? Well, to Jonah's astonishment, all those people that of Nineveh were saved. And let me say this as we pass. You know, there's one thing God loves to do. He loves to forgive. If you'll read this old book here, from the front to the back, God is longing to forgive people. He keeps asking people, repent. I want to forgive you. I want to bless you. God over and over is challenging people, repent. I want to forgive you. I don't want to judge you. But if you won't listen, just like in our Sunday school lesson today, God told those Jews, if you'll repent, I won't destroy you. But you know what? The Jews didn't repent. And they got sent to Babylon for 70 years. Those that survived, many of them was killed. Many of them had to eat one another. Amen? Because it got bad because they wouldn't repent. God does not want to judge people in our nations, but he will. He will. And he's going to do something to this nation you and I are living in, folks. We're not going to keep getting by like we've been getting by. We got too much sin. We got so much pride and arrogance and rebellion. We got too many that don't believe this book is the Word of God. But it is. And God's just giving warning after warning. And we're not listening as a country. And we're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be too late to pray. It's going to be too late to pray for this country. Sin will bring God's judgment if there's no repentance in a person's life or a nation's life. More than 100 years later, the Assyrians again have returned to their former wicked ways. And God sent the prophet Nahum to prophesy that God was going to once and for all destroy these wicked people who were so barbaric and cruel to the nations that they had conquered. Oh, how they mistreated people when they captured them. They did all they could to humiliate them and cause them to suffer. I'm not going to get into all that gruesomeness. It's too sad. To describe how the Assyrians treated their captive is too gruesome. I mean, it was awful. And I was reading in a commentary the other day about all the ways the Assyrian people would make those they captured suffer. Prolonged suffering. And God hated that. And then sometimes the Assyrians would have nations helping them fight other nations. And when they would win over that nation, then the Assyrians would turn on the nation that helped them win and mistreat them and treat them barbaric. That's how wicked these people were. And I don't think the other nation ever been as wicked as the Assyrians were. But their days are numbered. God got them on the calendar now. It's going to be an end to them. It was the Assyrians who had earlier, in somewhere around 722 B.C., had invaded Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and had devastated Israel. I mean, they just destroyed Israel, those 10 northern tribes. And then they took them captive. And then they brought in other kinds of people to fill in Israel where the Jews had been living. Jonah wanted God to destroy the Assyrians, but God loved those people and he wanted to save them. So when you think about how wicked the Assyrians were, and God had first sent Jonah down there because God loved those people. No matter that they were that wicked people, God still loved them. And how can that be, some might say? Because God sees what sin has did to people. God sees how the devil has deceived people. And God sees what can happen when a person is converted and made a new person. And so that's why God often delays judgment. And we wonder why God don't do this, why God don't do that. He's giving people plenty of time. They won't have an excuse. Yeah, sometimes nations and people live boastful and proud and arrogant lives. They live as if there's no God to call them to judgment. And they think they are invincible. You see history filled with people and nations just like that. Back in Nahum 1, 2, and 3, God is jealous. Why is God jealous? What's he jealous about? God wants you to love him. God made you for himself. Do y'all realize that this morning? You're not here for what you want. I'm not here for what I want. God put us here for what he wants. God wants us to know him and love him and serve him because we're on a testing ground in this life to get ready to really live forever. We're going to really be living forever, and it won't be the problems that we're incurring today. God is jealous, and the Lord revenges, Nahum said. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. Listen to what Nahum is saying. People against God, you don't have a chance. And he reserveth wrath for his enemy. He's reserved wrath for those that oppose him. Isn't that something? The Lord is slow to anger. It takes the Lord a while to finally move him to judge. But if you keep pushing him, he'll finally judge. He don't want to, but he will. And he goes on and he says, he's slow to anger, he's great in power, and he's not going to acquit the wicked. He's not going to overlook the unsaved sin. He's not going to overlook it. Look at the people today. They live without God, no fear of God. They don't realize in their sin, they're just stacking up. God just giving them time. And how many go out and they've not changed the direction of their life. Now they got to face the judgment and all their life of sin. It's going to be pitiful, folks. It's going to be pitiful. God is slow to anger, giving sinners time to see the error of their way before he brings his vengeance upon them. If you want to read a good read, you read those last chapters of Jeremiah and Lamentation. When those Babylonians came in to Jerusalem and began to destroy the city and the temple, and see and hear all the crying and hear all the screaming and see all that was going on to their beloved city, because they thought because they had a temple there, God wouldn't judge them. You can't hide behind a church or a temple, folks. God's looking at the hearts of people. Are you trusting in the Lord? And are you living for the Lord? He won't be fooled by any of us. God's not going to allow the wicked to go unpunished, no matter who they are or what they think or do. God is going to judge the wicked. The wicked is all the unsaved. We have 6,000 years of human history, church. 6,000 years, and still the wicked have not learned you can't get by with sin. You can't get by with it. In Numbers 32:23, Moses said, "And be sure your sins will find you out." Look at the nations that have come and gone, who thought they would never be defeated or fall, but now they're history. Countless nations. The same is true of people. No one is going to get by with their sin. Makes no difference what position in life one has, who they are. God is a holy God. God said very clearly to the wicked that they would answer to him for their sins. This is good news of the gospel of Jesus in the New Testament, that all who call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved, shall be forgiven of all their sin. Our study on Wednesday night is so good about, we've been talking about how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid for all of our sin, and we don't live under the law. we live by the grace of God, being given a new heart, a new life. How blessed we are. The unwise who fail to repent, turn to the Lord, will eternally be separated from God in a place of eternal suffering. Do you think many people today think they're going to die and go to hell? Y'all think that? You think many people think that? You know, a lot of people think, you know, God, surely God wouldn't do that if there's a God. Because we got a lot of people today that don't believe there's even a God. And people just don't believe that they're going to die and go to hell. But the Bible says you will if you're not saved. If you're not saved. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, church, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Everybody in this world is condemned till they get saved. But we live today, and it is the belief of so many, I'm a good person, and God loves me, if there is a God. So I'll be all right. I believe I got enough good works, he'll let me in, if there is such a place called heaven. That's the way a lot of people are living today, folks. They're living deceived. They're living deceived. The Assyrians had forgotten God too long. They have ignored God's warning, and now destruction is headed their way, and nothing is going to divert it. Nations and people can forget God until it gets too late to avoid judgment. And you remember what God told Jeremiah before Jerusalem and the temple was destroyed in 586? You know what God told Jeremiah? Jeremiah, don't pray for them no more. Your prayers, Jeremiah, will not keep my judgment from coming. Are we about there here in America, you reckon? That the true church that is in the country, our prayers are not strong enough or great enough or fervent enough to divert the coming judgment? In Deuteronomy 8:11, Moses wrote, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Don't you forget God, Moses wrote. In not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I've commanded thee this day. Deuteronomy 8:11. He wrote that for the Jewish people, but they forgot God. They forgot God. The psalmist said in Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Think about nations of people being eternally separated from God. Why? Sin. Just sin. And God takes vengeance on his enemies because sin is against him. Sin is against him. We find ourselves today living where there's no fear of God in our communities, in our country. People are not afraid of God anymore. You know, I remember in the summertime growing up, when a cloud would come up and we were out in the field, you know, because we feared the Lord and that storm, we hunted a shelter somewhere. Amen. Oh, people don't do that no more, I don't think. They just get out of the rain, but that's it. It's sad so many people are not concerned about their soul. Every one of us in here has a soul. You are a soul. You're an eternal spirit being. going to live forever. Do you ever lay in bed at night and think about you going to be living forever? 10 trillion years from now, you'll be more alive then than you are now. Somewhere. Somewhere you'll be. You can be with the Lord or absent. Your choice. Your choice. Think about God being gracious enough to let you decide where you want to live forever. Amen? Yeah. Church means nothing to most people today. Like I said, we come across 95 while we're going away to church. Both lanes was full of people. Just like that. On the Lord's Day. And I just don't believe they were going to church. I just don't believe it. Many people justify their action by making God to fit their mold of thinking. Well, God wants me to get some rest on the weekend. Therefore, I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Well, God is immutable. He's unchangeable. And God is going to judge sin in every person's life. Job 10. I want you to listen to this. It wouldn't be bad to write this scripture down. Job 10, verses 14 and 15. Listen to what Job said. If I sin, then thou markest me. If I sin, Job said, God marks me. And thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me, Job said. Boy, he was conscious of God, wasn't he? He was conscious. He said, if I sin, God's going to put a mark on me. And that is, he's going to remember me and what I've done. And he's not going to overlook it. The Assyrians were wealthy people. They had other people's wealth when they plundered them after they had destroyed them. They were powerful people. They were wicked. They were full of pride. But God was going to utterly destroy them. The king of Assyria was openly defying God for what they would be, that they would be destroyed. There are many wonderful characteristics of God, such as his goodness, his kindness, his concern, his care, his patience, his long-suffering, his love and mercy, to name just a few of the characteristics of God. But Assyria has spurned them all, and now judgment was on the horizon for this once powerful nation of people. Think of all the people who have forfeited the grace of God to indulge in sin and live as they please. Just ignore God. Just live like I want to. Go and do as I please. Nothing's happening. Every day it's the same way. Nothing happens. God must not care. That's the way people don't realize God's just giving them time. God's just giving people time. We can, as Christian people, we can have things in our life. God is not dealing with us. He's giving us time to get it out, confess, repent of. Here's what happened to Babylon in Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. What sorrow awaits Nineveh, the city of murder and lies, crammed with wealth and is never without victims. Hear the crack of whips, the rumble of wheels, invading armies to destroy them. That's what he's talking about. Horses' hooves pound, chariots clatter wildly, flashing swords, glittering spears, as the charioteers charge. They are countless casualties, piles of body everywhere. So many, the people are stumbling over them. All this because Nineveh, the beautiful, faithless city, mistress of deadly charm, enticed the nations with her beauty. She taught them all her magic, enhancing people everywhere. I am your enemy, says the Lord of heaven's army. And so God brought the Babylonians against the Assyrians. And you know what? They utterly devastated them. Nineveh was so destroyed, it was just been about 100 years or so ago that they found the remains of Nineveh. They got so destroyed by her, the Babylonians. Now God reduces Nineveh to rubble, that once powerful nation, and it had no power to stop God's judgments. In Nahum 3:18 and 19, O king of Syria, your shepherds slumber, your nobles lie down to rest. Your people are scattered on the mountains with no one to gather them. Nothing can heal your wound. Your injury is fatal. Everyone who hears the news about you clap their hands at your fall, for who has not felt your endless cruelty? The surrounding nations, when they saw Nineveh destroyed by the Babylonians, the other nations that had been mistreated by the Assyrians, just clapped their hands. They were so happy that finally this arch enemy of theirs had been reduced to rubble. One of these mornings, the wrath of God is going to come upon those who have taken the Bible out of the public schools. Y'all know that? Such vengeance will also overcome those who took prayer out of school. All those who endorse aborting babies will wish they'd never been born. Those that are guilty of getting liquor and its evil products spread all over the country will weep and wail in the flames of hell as it laps around their doomed souls. Yes, think of them. Think then if this is true of these, that what will be like for those who committed abominations with improper sex and blasphemous marriages. God's going to come against his enemies, folks. They're enemies of righteousness. God hates it. God's given us a book to tell us how to live. We better not ignore this book. We better let this book be our standard to live by. All these God gave the privilege to be leaders to care for the people will soon be sad learn that their days of milking the public and enriching themselves while ruling without the wisdom of God will lead to their utter eternal destruction. God gives our leaders the privilege to be our leaders. But when they lead godlessly, when they lead without the wisdom of God, they're going to answer to God. It seems like they think they are God. But they're going to have, and you can read this Bible and go all the way back. And people that in leadership, many times, that's the way they have felt. I'm God. You answer to me. You do what I say. But God's not overlooking it. And these people in these high and powerful positions and extreme wealth, using it against what's right to do what's evil. They're going to answer to a holy God, church. Leaders are God's ministers too. You know that? The governor, the president, the senators, the House, all these leaders are God's ministers, and they are required to lead and obey by God's word. They're required. They're not up there to do what they want. But that's what they do. They do what they want. But God put them there to do what he wants. What, think about if we had leaders who would live by what God wants, what a nation we would have, church. And what a world we would be living in if all the nation's leaders was like that. Jeremiah tells of the judgment upon the wicked leaders in Jeremiah 25 and 34. Listen to this. Weep and moan, you evil shepherds. Roll in the dust, you leaders of the flock. The time of your slaughter has arrived. You will fall and scatter like a fragile vase. You will find no place to hide. There will be no way to escape. God's, through Jeremiah, talking about leaders. Leaders of people who forgot about God. And they ignored the wisdom of God in leading people. We once had a great nation, but the church of Jesus Christ has grown lukewarm. Accepting false teaching, listening to false pastors, teachers who want to be known as powerful and famous. Too many churches have stopped preaching the gospel because it offends people. They want to hear about sin. They want to hear about going to hell. But that's what's going to happen to people. You're either going to heaven or to hell. And what makes the difference? You got to get out and admit you're a sinner. Got to come like a child. Acknowledge you're a sinner. And say, Lord, I want you to forgive me. Be my Savior. And then you put your trust in him. You commit yourself to him. Like a mate to a mate in marriage. And you start learning about him, and you start serving him. And then one day, the angels will come and escort you into heaven. But all this phony stuff is just people going to be deceived. People going to be deceived. I suspect the real reason our nation is in the shape it's in today is because of the church. I believe that's the problem. We have the kind of leaders today leading us as a nation because this is the kind of people we are as a church. Too many people have wanted to have big congregations, and they do things to attract people, so they have to eliminate offending, talking about sin. And so we got churches in name only. Churches in name only. On Sunday morning, look how few are in church whose names are on the church rolls. Look how many go for 1 hour to feed their soul, and some less than an hour all week. Look how few make it to prayer meeting, the most important service in the churches across our country. Too many of God's people have the wrong priorities. It's affecting our nation. God has not changed. He's still the same God, looking for those who sacrifice, who deny self, who want to be used, who want to and will be faithful. That's what God's looking for. He's jealous for our love, church. He wants us to love him for who he is. He loves us so much. He sent Jesus to die for us. He wants us to love him. They want a love relationship. God expects people to be serving Him. God expects His people to be serving Him. The psalmist gave us the right formula long time ago when I first read this passage of Scripture. It's been one of my favorite for many, many years. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, Psalms 37, 1 through 5. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut out like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Did you get that? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. What a great passage of Scripture. I tell you, if we, as the church, would follow that pattern there, how God would bless us. Now, when God blesses us, that don't necessarily mean He's going to make you rich, give you earthly riches per se. It don't mean that at all. It might be God lets us be as poor as dirt, so we'll stay close to Him. You hear me? Did you know it's going to be mostly poor people to go to heaven anyway? Why? Because poor people have to trust the Lord. Isn't that something? Oh, I love that passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord. That's my hope. What's your hope? What's your hope? You think you can make it without the Lord? You think your children are going to make it without the Lord? Your grandchildren? No. Your neighbor? You're not going to make it without the Lord. Name one way to know the Lord. That's to repent of sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God destroyed nations of wicked people. History's full of it. Because they hated Him, He destroyed them. God wants His people to be committed to love and serve Him. Do you really love the Lord? Really? Really? Think about it. Or is this just a habit? I go to church on Sunday. Is it just a habit? If I don't go to church, they'll talk about me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kim. Folks, this better not be a habit. You better feel the need to be in church today. You better feel a need to have God's favor on you, God's blessing on you. Here's the truth. If you love God, you will serve Him. If you love God, you will serve Him. If you're wise, you'll repent and get on the right track so your life will honor the Lord and He can bless and use you. In closing, God's going to get rid of every one of His enemies. In the end of the tribulation time, when Jesus comes back at His second coming to set up His kingdom over there in Jerusalem for 1,000 years, He's going to gather all the nations of the world. Listen to me carefully. He's going to gather all the nations of the world. First, He's going to destroy all the armies of the world. He's going to destroy all the armies. Then next, He's going to get all the nations of the world before Him. And He's going to separate them. The sheep on the right hand, that is those that got saved during the tribulation. And the goats on the left. And the goats on the left, they're going to die. He's going to kill them right there on the spot. The sheep are then going to be turned into that 1,000-year reign of Christ. And most of them, if not all of them, that were saved during the tribulation will live the next 1,000 years, most of them. In a land where there's no war, where it's peace, where there's prosperity like there's never been. It's coming, folks. I believe it myself. But before that takes place, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation in which the earth is greatly reduced in its population because God hates his enemies. And he's already forewarned in this book what the plan is. What the plan is. And all these people open up and down the roads and the highways, they're going to find out too late this book is really true. And it was there for them all the time, and they neglected it. Lord God, this is your word we preach today. This is your word we hold today. This is the hour we've come to bow in submission to the Holy One. Recognizes you're God and there's no other God. Indeed, help us trust in the Lord. To live day by day trusting in the Lord, making ourselves available to be used of the Lord. And bless this congregation for your honor and glory. And somehow use us, Lord, to get out the gospel. Make us a blessing. We can't do anything ourselves. We're helpless, Lord. It's your word that does the work by your Spirit, Lord. We recognize it in Jesus' name. Forgive us when we fail you. Bless each one here today in a special way. Those unable to be here, you know what's going on in their life. Bless, challenge, encourage, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our altar's open this morning. You can come praise the Lord that you're saved. Come praise the Lord that you won't face his destructive vengeance. Praise God.